Tuesday night and the day of the tour, we're going to be Yossi Moore.
Just to pick your brains very quickly, is that when the Gaon was in school, right, when the Gaon was in school, he knew Kala Torah Kula, he knew the whole Torah, and the Rebbe asked him, he said a very quiz question. This is a quick question, very quick. You stay in the Torah, Avrohom Avrohom, twice, right? It says that by the time of Akedah, the Malach said, Vayikra Elov Malach Hashem, Vayima Avrohom Avrohom, Vayima Hineni. Which other time in the Torah does it say Avrohom Avrohom together? There you go. Where does it say in the Torah, besides from the Akedah, it says Avrohom twice? Avrohom Avrohom. We don't know. We only know of one in the Akedah. Said the Gaon said to the Rebbe, and Reb Chaim is also saying, that Eshtein last week's parasha is Ve'ele Tolos Yitzchak Ben Avrohom, Avrohom Tolos Yitzchak. It's just a nice chap. That's another time that it says Avrohom, Avrohom together. Okay. The Shaila that we want to discuss tonight is, I find it more and more common. It's more motzei that I'm seeing it. People hesitate before they do it, but it does happen. You go to a simcha, Baruch Hashem, not too often, but I have spotted such a thing. When you go to a kiddush, you go to a sheva brachas, a simcha, and it can happen that one of the people which are making the simcha, anyone involved in the simcha, can ask the waiter, please snap a photo of, you know, of the tables. It's beautiful Shabbos, we're talking about on Shabbos, where it's beautiful photo, beautiful tables laid out. We're going to have a stunning theme, the sheva brachas, look at the desserts. Maybe snap a photo of the detail that goes into what the flowers and the chosen and kala, you know, or maybe sometimes when a specific person from abroad is coming, so you know when you get a handshake, that's snap a photo, that's one scenario, which is not, Baruch Hashem, not so common, a direct tzivui, direct instruction to a goy. You'd have another case where, you know, when the waiter is playing around with their phone, like they all do, and, you know, they're busy taking a photo on themselves, you know, so then you can have a situation where the yid can sort of hint, you know, how about taking a photo there or something, some way of hinting, that's the second stage. And you can have a final stage where the waiter, where the yid has no involvement, the yid is sitting down enjoying himself, but the guy, he takes photos. Now all these things need addressing. Oh, telling before Shabbos, I wouldn't make it enough gemina. And it's worth clarifying this point, because I do find it something which will become motzei, and it's worth getting clear what the problem is. Obviously, we know the stage one, level one, to instruct the goy to take a photo. Even if you do the instruction to the goy, you tell him before Shabbos, let's say you meet up on a Wednesday and you discuss what the venue's going to, what's going to look like, what you're going to order, how the tables are going to be set, it's still an issa to instruct the goy, even before Shabbos, to take a photo. Because Amir al-Akum tells you that what you can't do, you can't tell a goy to do. So even though the issa of snapping a photo is likely to be only an issa de Rabbanon, there's no melacha de Raisa involved, possibly, but still there's an issa to tell a goy to do melacha, even if it's de Rabbanon. So, l'chaira, there wouldn't be a real way out to tell a goy. So that's point number one. Point number one is the instruction should l'chaira be a serious issue of Amir al-Akam. Point two is where you hint to the goy, and point three is where the goy takes the photo on his own accord. Both of those cases, yes, there's no amira, you haven't instructed the goy of anything, because when you do in a roundabout way, then you haven't given the instruction. And all the more so when the waiter does it from his own accord. However, you've got another issue to deal with. What's that other issue to deal with? It's nehene mimaisa goy. That means if we're sitting in this room and it's pitch dark Friday night, and the security man walks by and he hears us singing and he comes inside, what's going on? Do you want the lights on? And we don't say anything, and he switches them on his own accord. There's still an issa for us to benefit from these lights. We'd have to ideally go to next door. So, you're jumping again. I'm going to say you'll see how clever we're going to get over here. So we're saying over here you can't benefit from a melacha which a goy does. Therefore, similarly, when it comes to the photo that my waiter takes of the event, and got the chosen kala sitting on a beautiful hall with a beautiful food, and she snaps, and the waiter snaps a picture, and they know your email address. They've actually even sent it before you know anything. They've actually sent it to your email address. It's so quick these days, or they put it on the WhatsApp or anything like that. The shaila is, what can you do with this photo? The halacha seems to be, it could well be you'll have to delete the photo. Let's be masbir. I think you mentioned a very, very starker point. Why delete it? We're talking about after Shabbos. Yes, when we're sitting here Friday night, we can't benefit from the light. That's because it's Shabbos. But there's halacha that once you wait after Shabbos, the amount of time it takes for the goy to do that malacha, then it's mutter. As I say in Shin Chav Hei Sivov, Shulchan Aruch speaks about a case where a goy traps a behemoth for you. He lets you traps, I don't know, he traps something, a deer for you, right? Traps a deer. And after Shabbos, you want to deal with the day, you want to do something with it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to wait the amount of time it would take for someone to trap. It could be, only be 2-3 minutes. Kadesh Yasu, it's known as Kadesh Yasu. As I said, Shulchan Aruch, yeah, if let's say a goy boils up water for you, Bashsuda Shlishis, you're not allowed to benefit from the water. Even after Shabbos, you can't. You have to wait 3 minutes. Nowadays, it takes 3 minutes to even less to warm up a kettle. Then you can wait 3 minutes and benefit from the water. So I think the Olam are thinking, so why shouldn't we apply the same rule to say that surely after 3 seconds after Nacht, the time it takes to take a photo, it should be mutter to benefit from the photo, to print it, to show people, to send it to other people. Akhira, what should be the issue, Bechlal, why are we making such a title out of the Shay? There's no, what's the Shaila? As soon as the time you come back after Mariv, and you've said the Abdullah, it's already 20 minutes after, surely it's a Kadesh Yasu. Oh, that's all good. That's all good. Kadesh Yasu, yeah? Think a bit deeper into Kadesh Yasu. Kadesh Yasu tells you, don't benefit from the malocha of the goy in any way, shape, or form, right? That means if you give the amount of time that you could have done it anyway now, because surely by 3 minutes after Nach, you could yourself switch on the kettle, and you'll have boiling hot kettle. Therefore, that's not considered benefiting from the goy. However, when it comes to Matzah Shabbos, and your simcha is the olim are filled their stomachs, and there's no remnants of any food, and it's surely not of the theme, and all the tables are completely demolished, and gornish minish, the bar mitzvah bacher's hat is already long gone, and it's bechilal not negea to now get the situation back to normal. It won't come into your dreams, if there's a tzad that you'll get everyone together, afsha. But it won't come ala cheshbon to bring such a matzav together. Zokt Rav Elyashiv, it's very hard to apply the rule of Kadesh Yasu in such a photo. In what way are you going to allow yourself time? How's time going to be the answer to reflect back onto your Ne'eneh from Shabbos? You've got Hanor from Shabbos. Yeah. It's a fascinating thought that L'chaira, it's a Zer Shen Gezot, that L'chaira, it could well be that to be Ne'eneh from it, but the Eved is also with the Eved will be a problem to be Ne'eneh. There is, however, a situation where it might be okay. It might not be so helpful because not so personal. What they do is sometimes waiters might want to take a photo of the setup of what they've done, push it for their own profile to put on their own Google reviews, right, or their own website to show what they can deliver to others. Then you can then go afterwards to their website or to themselves and then steal the picture off them. But again, it won't be personal because you're not going to put photos of yourselves in there. It's not going to be anything personal. It'll just be a picture of the tables, probably. I'm sure it's probably illegal because the GDRP or something. No, but over here, now what you've achieved is that the goy has done it specifically for himself. Once he's done it for himself, it's not considered if you're not. That would be the only hechatimsa where it would be okay to benefit from the picture. Like, then again, it's lost its whole purpose because it won't be personal. It'll just be it's likely to be just of the tables and of the setup what they've done, but not really nothing personal. If you get a picture, let's say the rebbe comes to town and he's staying by you, and you have there's a non-Jewish person that has snapped up his phone and takes out a photo. He knows that you're going to want this. He can see all the covered. Yeah, lemaisa, there seems to be a real issue with benefiting from that picture. Is actually a similar tshuva. It's not much the same Indian, but you should know the Mechasitzch has got a tshuva, a very fascinating case, where people, he said, I've been asked by people who set their radio before Shabbos, right? They set the radio before Shabbos to go off certain times in the day. Maybe they want to catch the 5 o'clock news in the afternoon and the 6 o'clock news in the morning. Yeah, so they set their time, they set the radio, yeah? That it should turn on the radio. Let's say they're very hooked onto the news. It's the presidential election coming 2024, and it's getting very heated. Already 2 years before the election are busy, 2 years after the election are busy. So it's they're very, very on edge. So the Machas Yitzchok had to explain, is it mutter to set your radio that it should go on at, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning, you want to hear the radio? So he's talking about an Eretz Yisrael. Oh, that's what he writes. His first point is that you won't, he's talking about an Eretz Yisrael, where you won't be able to listen to the radio on Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, because you're benefiting from what is being done by Issa on Shabbos. Meaning then Eretz Yisrael, Yidden are unfortunately, they're running the radio stations. And if that's the case, you're benefiting from a melacha which has taken place on Shabbos. And he says you won't be able to listen to the radio because you're having that benefit. I'm just bringing this because some wanted to say, when it came to our photo, some wanted to say, now what's your whole problem with the photo? Yeah, we're saying that you can't benefit from the photo that a goy took of your Shavu Brachos on Shabbos. But why is that called benefiting? Yeah, maybe it's not called benefiting because the Gemara says mare kosho koil or mare or koil kosho mare is not considered ein boim shum le'ila. No, it's insignificant. However, the Maaseh of the Prima Gadol says it's still asma d'rabbon, and therefore, so to over here, there would be an issa to benefit from the photo. The Mechassis also got a tshuva to talk about the radio. Listening to the radio would be a problem because you're benefiting from what the goyim are doing, from what the yidden are doing on Shabbos. But issa. Now, in England, that point won't be relevant, but what you mentioned, very interesting, that there's still an issa of afshe milsa. You're creating noise in the house. Noise in the house would be, oh, so if you put it quiet, I discuss it. You should know I was a bit naughty when I was in school, when I was in yeshiva, that one of the first questions to Rabbi Falk was that surely it should be okay to take a radio and to put a radio on, yeah, and put earphones in and leave the radio on the whole Shabbos like that. Because I remember when I was in yeshiva, that year, I think it was the second year in yeshiva, that there was the World Cup, and there was a few boys that were very, very desperate to listen to the game. And so I mentioned this to Rav Falk, as Meita, being creative, can you leave, we used to have a small devices where you can have a radio on, and you put the earphones in. I said, what should be the problem? There's no muksa, because it's a kedish m'lacht al-issa, and it's a kuf m'kom is muta. And if it's afshem mulsa, there's no afshem mulsa because it's very quiet. When you come into the room, you can't hear it. You have to make sure it's not so loud. Some earphones, when you come into the room, you can hear it. So you put it quiet, you put the normal set. He didn't want to talk about the shayla. We can't instruct him. It was treif by him. By him, it was treif. Understandably, what else do you tell a boch in yeshiva? Oh, but the end of the day is that it has to be strict halacha. It could well be that there's no issa involved, especially after you go through this tshuva Mechas Yitzchok and you've signed off. There's no issa of nene because you're talking about in England where there's no yidden involved. And secondly, there's no afshe mulsa. It could well be, strictly speaking, it's okay. Again, it's not something you want to publicize too often. Shabbos obviously is definitely not in the spirit of Shabbos. It doesn't come in bechlal to the picture, as Rabbi Falk told me. Moving on to another shaila, let me just throw to the olam a few shailas. I want to move on to a different topic. Number one is just a few shailas that came up. They're very, very shallow ones, but very geschmack, and they're very relevant. A person told me that his wife is going away for Shabbos, so it's going to be himself and his children. He's got a daughter, he's got a couple of children at home, so he wants to know, when it comes to adlokas nearest, comes to adloka lighting, so his wife is going to light where she is, and there's a stroll wherever she is, but him at home, who takes the lighting? Who should light? Should it be himself? Or perhaps her daughter? His daughter. His daughter is 14, 15. Should his daughter do it, or should he do it? Whatever he says, right? Yeah, because the Maisa, what's the reason why ladies do hadlock in the first place? Why men do Hanukkah, right? So why should we be any different to hadlockers nearest? So there's a special halacha when it comes to hadlockers nearest, because it's similar to Chava, he kafsal, nearishal oilam. So there's a special thing that she should do it. So Rav Eliashiv actually said that the daughter should do it. But the Maisa, if you look at the Orach Shabbos, the new chilek he brings from Reb Chaim and many others, it seems to be that the Baal, the husband, should light. But you should know, when the husband does light, then obviously he rotates the order of the hadlokah. Usually the lady first lights and only afterwards make a bracha. But when it comes, because she's mekava Shabbos, so we're scared that by making the bracha, she's mekava Shabbos. A man is not mekava Shabbos during the hadlokah, so he can surely make the bracha first. And he should make the bracha first. The halacha says that if in a case where the man is lighting, obviously he should make the bracha first, because like it's best to always have a bracha before the actual Maisa Adlokah. Next one, I must tell you, I was a bit put in the corner this Shabbos. I can't tell you where I was eating, but Shabbos day I was eating somewhere, and I was put in the corner, and I think it's a mitzvah of Farisim. It's my first time actually seeing it with my own eyes. A very fascinating thing happened. Shabbos day, I was given two challahs, and one of the challahs that I was supposed to cut into. It had a wrapping. It had a silver foil. I took it off and I thought I'm finished. And there was another wrapping. There was another layer of silver foil. There was two entire pieces of covered of silver foil covering the entire challah. I've never had that. I usually had covered once or one and a half. But here, there was the challah was covered completely twice. And it was warm. It was very warm. It had been left on top of the urn. Okay, what's the problem? So what? No. Okay, so you're going to say zatmona, as we've explained, zatmona. Because any item, any food item which is covered twice, over here is wrapped twice in silver foil, and it's placed near a source of heat, in this case it was put on the urn, that's called hatmona b'dov ha'mais of hevel. So you're going to say, okay, so what's the problem? No, but yeved, it was a shogig, she didn't know the halacha, whatever it was. And number two is, maybe b'di'eved, we could be soymach on it. The fascinating thing is that punk by hatmona and chazora, Chazal went over the top, usually by deraisa. Even if a person, chas v'sham, does a deraisa, as long as it's b'shoygig, b'di'eved, you're okay. You didn't know, no, you can benefit from it. When it comes to hatmona and chazora, we're very, very scared. Chazal, especially scared, zoy shtein remo, ibsayin reish and zayin, and also sin tezin shin yus ches, that, but even b'shoygig, you can't benefit from something which is mutman. It was a very scary event where Rabbi Falk showed me the Sha'atzion. The Sha'atzion writes in Rishon Zion. Sha'atzion writes that b'di'evet, if it was put on b'dov ha'mais of hevel, even if it didn't really add to it, it would still be osur ba'ano, b'di'evet, even b'di'evet. Now the Sha'atzion ends off with tzorach iyun. So in such a case where I was really put in the corner, you know, so we use the tzorach iyun of the Rekiv Eger. Rekiv Eger says he hasn't got a makor for it. He has medaiket from a Magen Avraham that surely it should be an issa even b'di'evet. He said the tzorach iyun is not so sure about it. So b'di'evet had a little te'ima and afterwards went on to matzah. It's a good idea anyway to have matzah Shabbos day because Rosh Day in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to the winter days and it's very difficult to come to Suda Shlishes, we're very full, it's very difficult. Rosh Day in Shulchan Aruch, ha'chocham einav b'roishai. He says that when you get to Suda Shlishes, when it comes to the second Suda, it's worth not overdoing it because only 2-3 hours later, you want to have an appetite. You want to come to Suda Shlishes with like a schmuck, with like a feel. So in fact, the Kaf HaChaim writes, Rishonim already write this. Now, what's the reason why we have Suda Shlishes? Why Taka? It's a bit of a nuisance sometimes in the winter. It's to be Megala. This reflects back onto the first two meals that you've done it, the covered Shabbos. Hello, Dava. What are we doing here? Two Suda Shlishes on Shabbos is such a big thing. Nitzel Medina Shagahenim, all these promises that we get for eating a meal. I mean, what do we do every day? We anyway need to eat twice a day. Zot the Rishonim, by eating a third meal, and giving us space on working out how much we have to eat in the first day meal, maybe sometimes Friday night as well, yeah, that shows that the ganzer zach is the tzorach Shabbos. That gives it the chashivas, that gives it the shempel that we're thinking about Shabbos. L'shtein kafachayim. So therefore, it's kedai to always keep in mind that in the Shabbos day meal, we're not overeating it, so that when it comes to the third meal, then we're ready to wash, because Shulchan Aruch paskins that there's a chiv to have it pass. Again, it's a misunderstanding when it comes to with the eved, you know, if a person's full, then there are other ways of doing it with cake and fish and peiros. But at the end of the day, Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that shitta. Shulchan Aruch is so they need pass. Yes, show him that's okay, but according to the Shulchan Aruch himself, that's ma'akav. So it's always worth trying to get as much as possible, trying to chaparan that shitta, the shitta of the ikad in the Shulchan Aruch. I just want to end off with a thought, which is to me, it is a very powerful chizik in tefillah. Let me ask you this, Ashayla. You have Yishmael, who's the son of Avram, and you have Esav, who's the son of Yitzchak. Chazal tell us that Yishmael did tshuva. Right? We know that he did tshuva from Vayikbro Esav, Yitzchak, Yishmael. We know that he did tshuva. Right? Esav, we don't know he did tshuva. In fact, we know that he was a Rosh Mitzchilas V'atzoyfei. Why is it that Avram was Zeicha, that all his children, that Yishmael did tshuva? And Yitzchak, unfortunately, what was Zeicha? Esav did not do tshuva. He had a son which didn't do tshuva. He was a Rosh Marusha. Listen to this. So the Balaam was such a powerful Yisoid. It's much powerful. That Avram was aware that Yishmael was a Rosha. He says, the Pasuk says that he was very upset. And he davened to Hashem, Lu Yishmael Yechayel Lefanecha. Halavai that Yishmael would go with Derech Hashem. He davened. Whereas Yitzchak wasn't aware that Esav was a Rosha. Yitzchak Ohev is Esav because he thought that he was Epis, some sort of tzaddik, Kafi Awa Havona. He didn't think there was anything wrong with him, and therefore he didn't daven. Because the tefillah, if Avram knew the problem and he davened, he was zeicha. Yitzchak wasn't to some extent, wasn't aware of it and he didn't daven, that's why he was zeicha. That shows again the powerful of tefillah. If he was aware of a problem and he davened for it, that's how Avram was zeicha, the Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yitzchak wasn't aware of it, he didn't daven, and if he wasn't zeicha.
Your tummy. Can I have your tummy, yeah? Not one more. Can I have your tummy, please, yeah? Can I have your tummy, yeah?
Okay. Thanks.